2016, when things got complicated at Estee Lauder, and I left with 4.5 years remaining on my non-compete. At 59 years old, I could retire. My kids were out of the house. I never needed to work again. Most people would have taken a year off, gone to Paris, learned to play tennis. I gave it some thought, but none of that interested me. I never had hobbies. For the last 25 years, I'd been working, building a business, and when I wasn't working, I had 3 hungry boys to feed, PTA meetings and baseball games to attend, a sink full of dishes to wash, and a pile of kids' sneakers to tidy. Those were my hobbies. On the precious few occasions when all that work was done, you'd find me picking out paints to redecorate the kitchen or new throw pillows for the couch. My mind loves creative work. In fact, it's not even work, it's a passion. There I was at 60, with no demands on my time and nothing but time to spare. I still felt that same creative passion, but where could I put it? After climbing my way up from a struggling freelance makeup artist to having created a billion-dollar company, what comes next? Part 1, Know Where You're From. Chapter 1, Nana and Papa. At the age of 14, my grandfather, Papa Sam, sailed from Ukraine to America, alone. Imagine leaving your home as a child, saying goodbye to all that is familiar and comforting, and traveling across the world to a place where you don't speak the language and everyone is a stranger. He must have suffered lonely nights missing home, but he didn't wallow. Wallowing was a luxury he couldn't afford. He got on with it. At first, he hawked newspapers on the city streets to well-heeled Chicagoans. Then, he sold ladies' handbags downtown. For a struggling immigrant, there was no such thing as a career. He took whatever jobs made money, whatever jobs put a warm meal in his stomach, but he was always searching for the next step up, the next opportunity to become something better. He scrimped and eventually saved enough money to buy a gas station. One day, someone abandoned a car there. When he was sure the owner was never coming back, Papa Sam sold the car for $300 and a new career was born. Across the street from the gas station stood an empty store next to a restaurant. He went into the restaurant and said, "Someone is going to open a competing restaurant next to you and drive you out of business. But if you lend me $2,000, I'll open a car dealership instead." That's how he became a car dealer, selling cars to nice suburban families and to infamous gangsters like Al Capone and Meyer Lansky. Papa Sam met my grandmother, Hermina, everyone called her Minnie, at a party in Chicago in the late 1920s. The details are lost to time, but I can imagine what it must have been like. The fashion, the makeup, the music. They made quite a couple. He was a little 5'5" man who dressed impeccably and talked with a tough guy's Chicago accent. She was a tiny woman who never raised her voice and who loved her family ferociously. Both Nan and Papa were incredibly hardworking and very old-fashioned. Papa was the head of the family, no question about it. Nana's whole life was Papa and her children, and later, her grandchildren. She never attended college, never had a job. She came from an era when a woman handled the domestic responsibilities, and she did it happily. Papa usually worked late, and Nana waited for him to come home before serving him dinner. The second he opened the front door, it was all about him. Soon after they married, Nan and Papa welcomed their first daughter, Alice. 6 years later came my mother, Sandra. It was the depths of the Great Depression, but Papa Sam had a special ability to survive and flourish. He sold enough cars to keep his family afloat and to spoil my mother like crazy, according to my Aunt Alice, the eldest child, who swears she never got the same treatment. Papa Sam even named his car dealership, Sandra Motors, after my mother. So enthralled was he by his baby girl. By the 1950s, Papa Sam was called Cadillac Sam, and he had built one of the biggest